So a wetlands disturbance restoration letter from Frontier Ella Environmental Consultants. They were hired to oversee restoration of the wetlands on site. And so in their letter, their documents have been sent up to Bountiful to the Army Corps of Engineers offices. Whispering Creek geotechnical report by Gordon. Whenever we have a new road that's being constructed, there's a geotechnical report required for that. Also helps out with building in the homes, those types of issues. That's been submitted to the city also. Whispering Creek wetlands report and request for aquatic resources restoration. So they've been involved with the wetlands also. The delineation of the wetlands and then restoration of the wetlands. And then Whispering Creek Lot 3 floodplain study for the proposed bridge. So this is really a study that looks at the floodplain and the bridge, making sure it does not impact the floodplain. And so it really shows a zero rise analysis, meaning that the floodplain does not change for any properties upstream or downstream from where that bridge will be located. Some needed documents. Now I did receive one of these today, but I'll go through these. Stream alteration permit for vehicular bridge to lot 3 for the sewer, that should say lateral, and culinary water lateral. So we do need that stream alteration permit. I know that there was one that was actually issued to this property, but they expire after a while, so we want an updated stream alteration permit. Army Corps of Engineers approval of the wetlands delineation of the property. The study has been sent to the Army Corps, but we don't have a response back that they agree to what's been delineated on the property for wetlands, so that's something that we need. And then the letter verifying the FEMA floodplain has been restored to its original condition. I did receive that today from a wetlands, from a floodplain engineer that's worked on a number of projects in the city. So we do have that verification that it's been restored back to where it was. So this is the actual recommendation at this point from the Water Board. This calculates the area of the lots, the park strip, the common area, impervious area for the lots. So the total irrigated area is 8.28 acres. There's 7 culinary connections as part of this development, so that's 5.6 acre feet. So those two together come up to 13.9. And we are crediting the existing subdivision on site. They did turn over 2 shares, which is 6 acre feet. Also the existing dwelling of 1.5. So after all of that is considered, they need to turn over 6.1 acre feet of water rights before the plat is recorded. And that would cover the culinary connections to all the lots, but it also covers 100% irrigation, including floodplain and wetland areas. Yeah, 6.4 acre feet. Some possible findings to consider. The proposal does meet the intent of the general plan for the R-1-15 zone. Does comply with the land use requirements for that same zone. Sensitive lands on the property and setbacks will be included on the plat, along with notes informing future lot owners of any flood risk. The city has not received approval of the wetland study by the Army Corps of Engineers, so that's something that we would like to see. And then the stream alteration permit is required for the driveway crossing on lot 3, and we want to see that permit also. Proposed conditions. One is the wetland study must be approved by the Army Corps of Engineers before the item is placed on an agenda for preliminary approval by the City Council. So we wouldn't even put it on the agenda until we have that letter, that approval. Number 2, a stream alteration permit must be approved before the item is placed on the agenda for preliminary approval by the City Council. So again, we want that document. Number 3, a note should be placed on the plat that advises future owners of lots 2, 4, and 5 potential flood hazards from a 500-year flood. Again, that's not regulated by the city or the federal government, but there is a possibility of flooding. There is always a possibility of flooding on any property. That's just the way it is. But this specific way would have a 500-year flood delineation. Developer must build the driveway crossing on lot 3 as part of the subdivision infrastructure. Number 5, a letter verifying the FEMA floodplain has been restored. So 5 has been addressed. We do have that letter at this point, so just receive that today. 6, the plans must be updated to show the common area that borders Carey Lane in the plan submittal for final approval. So basically that means on the show that common area. Right now, they're included in the lots, but that, those need to be separate.
Michael, who's proposed to take care of that entryway?
Yeah, that would be the homeowners association.
Okay, all right.
Seven lots, yeah. And then, number seven, advisory notice must be recorded on lots 2, 3, and 4 regarding the AE floodplain on the lots. The document will explain the limitation of what is allowed in the floodplain. Document will have language similar to the following. Landscaping is allowed in the FEMA, or in the FEMA AE flood area, which includes planting grass, plants, and trees, but nothing is allowed that will modify the FEMA flood zone. This includes not grading or placing rocks or fill of any type in this area that impacts the topography of the floodplain. And this is becoming a bigger issue around town. We've had property owners along Snake Creek that go in and modify the floodplain, and that not only impacts their property, but it impacts properties, especially upstream, and can cause other properties to flood. It's very regulated by the federal government and by the city. And so really what I'd like to see is separate notices recorded towards those lots, so any future due diligence, where they're doing a document search, that notice will pop up advising, if you own this property, you can't just go in and do what you want in the floodplain. That affects the community. If we do allow people to modify within the floodplain, it affects our ability to receive federal emergency funds if there is a flood. If we're not following an ordinance, then they won't give us any funding, so it's important that we follow that. So we can always put a note on the plat, but the plat will not pop up during a document search. It won't show up. I wish it would, but it doesn't. So I think it's important enough that we actually have a separate document recorded towards those lots, and really any future ones along Snake Creek, any flood points that we've got, which is generally Snake Creek. So those are the recommended conditions. Happy to take any questions or comments from the Planning Commission. Really, you've got options of continuance if you want to see all of the all those documents before you make a recommendation. You could recommend approval or denial of with conditions of the development.
I have a question. Who actually owns that section of Snake Creek that crosses through the property? Does the property owner own the waterway right there?
Yeah, they do.
They do, so, okay.
Now, they're restricted on what they can do in that
area. Right, but they own it, so they don't have to ask anyone's permission to put a bridge across the water.
Well, to put a bridge across the water, you have to receive approval from the city for that, and we would require a stream alteration permit.
Okay, all the things that were in the proposal.
Yeah,
okay.
And a stream alteration permit, but no, you don't have to ask another property owner for that.
I didn't know if the waterway was owned. But
yeah.
So it's owned in different sections by different people,
yeah,
depending on whose property it goes through. Thank you.
Michael, where are the mailboxes? Are they on each lot?
So really that is up to the post office, but normally what they do is a cluster box.
Mm-hmm.
So a location will need to be identified where that will be located. And they normally will not do individual mailboxes unless it's just a property out, mm-hmm, by itself. Subdivisions almost always have a cluster box at this point. It's much more efficient for, mm-hmm, the post office to go to one location then stop at everybody's home. So that will need to be identified. It's either going to be out on Carey Lane or right in the entryway of this development, most likely.
But if they do it at the entry, they're going to have a pullover for that, right?
Yeah, and I guess my preference is always put them in the middle of the subdivision,
mm-hmm,
because you do sometimes have clear view issues at the entryway. So for instance, Fergie, the Deer Ridge Estates, there used to be a cluster box right off of Interlochen Drive. It was a site. It was kind of dangerous at that intersection. We ended up working with the post office to move it to the center of the development, which is kind of nice because everybody can walk to it now. But they do like to keep them close to the roads because, again, it makes it more efficient to access them. So
my preference would be not to put it on Carey Lane, just with the narrow width of that property. There's a high potential of being in the site triangle, the road's not really wide.
Yeah.
I think it's a much better location if they can go down on the cul-de-sac.
What if we put it in the south end of the common area?
Yeah, even up in there.
Right there.
Yeah,
right there.
That's,
yeah,
a good spot.
That'd be fine.
Because at least then it's common.
Right.
It's more likely to have a parking spot.
Yes.
I mean, we could build that in the common area, but not on some of the lot.
Yeah.
I have a question. If we made a motion to approve this, would we, could we just say it based on the condition that the three needed documents that we received the documents?
Yeah, there's really two at this point,
just
but
two
yeah.
of them? Okay, because you could get the other
but
one.
Yeah, we would make sure, we wouldn't put it on the city council at the end until those documents were received and verified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the paperwork for the two other documents that have been submitted is response back.
Okay.
But those are the trigger to even get it on the agenda for the city council, right?
That's correct. We would not place it on agenda until we actually receive those documents.
But would that need to be part of the motion today, that we're just waiting to receive those two additional documents?
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing to include in the motion.
Right, the conditions.
Okay. I'll make a motion. Do it.
Yeah,
okay.
Go for it.
I make a motion for recommendation for approval of a preliminary application for a large-scale subdivision to be known as Whispering Creek Subdivision. The preliminary plan includes 7 lots on 4.54 acres. The property is in the R115 zone at approximately 515 West Cary Lane. Accept the SAFT reports and accept the listed findings, the possible findings. We have a condition, though, that we need to receive the two documents that have been applied for. Need those to be accepted. Do we need to say also that we accept the submitted documents?
Yeah, if you'd like to, that'd be fine. There's 7 conditions overall,
there's
but
seven.
Only 6. Our suggestion is to adopt the 6 that haven't been
okay.
met. But
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 6 conditions.
So just accept the 6 conditions.
Okay.
Yeah, except for condition number 5, that's been handled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All those in favor? Laura, starting
aye.
Here.
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion passes.
Thank you. It's been a fun night.
It has been a fun night.
So
I apologize that the homestead maybe discussed things that were not planned.
It was a party.
Okay. On to item number 5. Let's see, Cole Knight and Jesse Diani have submitted a preliminary final application for a small-scale subdivision to be known as Sage Hill Estates. The preliminary plan includes 2 lots on 0.55 acres. Property is in the R17 zone at 85 North River Road. Michael, can we have the staff report? Or, oh, we've got.
Michael
oh.
took all the really complicated ones. I shouldn't jinx this one.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do that. So this is a request for preliminary and final approval of a small subdivision. It's 0.55 acres in the R17 zone. It's the proposal contains 2 lots. And this is basically over on River Road and where 100 North comes into it. So there's an existing single family dwelling on the northernmost of the proposed lots. There is 1 existing detached garage on what would become known as the second, which is just south of there. Portions of that garage do extend outside the property boundary, and the application calls for demolition and removal of the structure. And we would recommend that that would be a condition of any approval. Proposed lot number 1, which is a northern one, has frontage on both River Road and 1 North. And the southern lot number 2 has frontage on River Road alone. So they have access for both lots. No sensitive lands have been identified. And the parcel with the, which would be lot 1 that connects, that has the existing house, it already has connections to sewer and water and secondary water. The addition of a 2nd parcel would necessitate additional connections for those services. So this is the kind of bird's eye view. There's the existing house just south of 1 North, and just south of it would be the 2nd lot. There is sufficient frontage for both. And when River Road was improved a few